There's no way of missing the sign an Eagle Scout crafted to perfection. It reads, "The Friends of the Monarch Trail." Despite its clear message, it would be tricky these days getting onto the trail, unless you jumped an industrial-strength fence and dodged heavy equipment. Workers are using it all to tame the landscape for UWM's new research park. Since the 1990s, Barb Agnew has been tramping across this windy terrain to watch monarchs dine on wildflowers that spilled across the grounds.
The last week in August and the first few weeks of September, you could walk through and you were in this whirlwind of butterflies.
Crews have altered the feasting grounds, and Agnew says the native plants have been slow to rebound.
It's been seeded twice, and it is so painfully slow to come back, and part of it is the compaction that occurred.
Developers have promised to protect a core pocket of monarch habitat. Agnew points to its centerpiece, a magnificent sycamore.
Branches on the sycamore, year after year after year, the monarchs would alight on them in fall as a place of protection.
However, Agnew says one island does not a robust habitat make, and she's been carrying that message to every project meeting she gets wind of. Agnew serves on a habitat plan committee. It weighs in on how close new buildings and their landscape should come to wildlife habitat. Agnew believes negotiation is paying off. She says the first company breaking ground, ABB Inc., significantly altered its landscaping plan.
They're going with a natural landscape, pervious pavement.
And the Department of Transportation has agreed to alter the seed mix it uses on the nearby zoo interchange reconstruction.
They are now going to include 10% common milkweed, goldenrod, the aster, and the boneset. And they are going to do the entire zoo interchange with this seed mix.
Agnew hopes the idea spills across the country.
Roadways and highways are the last frontier. If we can take that space and provide resources for pollinators, monarchs, then they've got a chance because we need vast areas.
Charlie Keenan doesn't have any problem working in a paved urban landscape at Fifth and National, nor does he mind slipping on a set of antennae to emphasize his message, save the honeybee. Keenan says the notion that bees can't survive in an urban setting is plain wrong. They comfortably cruise more than 2 miles from the hive. Where do you find his urban bees? Perhaps in places you would not expect.
They collect all the apple blossoms on all the trees along Bradley Tech. They go down along the lakefront and grab tons of food that way.
Keenan is more concerned about bees that rely on farm fields.
Because a field has one crop, and when the one crop's in bloom, it's a smorgasbord. But the whole rest of the time that there's no flower, there's really no food.
However, his deeper concern is about the honeybees dying by the droves. There's growing suspicion that a new class of pesticides is to blame. Keenan doesn't think there's time to wait for the verdict.
I'm thinking locally to get globally. The main mission is to make a beehive as ubiquitous as a fire hydrant. So if we can get people to understand the worth of bees.
Keenan designed a user-friendly hive called a bee pod. It's shaped like an old-fashioned cradle. He works with school kids to assemble them and says they go nuts when the bees move inside.
The glass window on the side of the bee pod is BTV. Just pop the window off and look. Little kids will just sit there and watch the bees walking around inside. It's so cool.
The way Keenan sees it, not a single honeybee is expendable. So he even responds to calls to remove irksome swarms.
I've got access to a cherry picker truck. Drive up and get them out of trees.
He'll even extract them from walls, offering all bees a new home.
It's super cool.
Susan Bentz, 89.7 WUWM.